Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the motherfucking Joe Howard Show!
Jamie Wieland.
Hi, how are you, Joe?
Welcome to the Joe Howard Show.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, actually. Doing a lot better than I was a few months ago.
I know. I really appreciate you coming on. I was actually, when I called Tommy one day and you picked up, I had a great conversation with you. You've always been super sweet, and I met you a bunch of times, and you've always been so nice to me and my friends. And, you know, I just, you know, like I said, like a lot of people are really reaching out. They got love for you. Everybody's hoping you're doing well. And, you know, I noticed that you're doing some stuff at Etsy. I saw that. You can tell me a little bit about that.
I started painting last summer. It was actually kind of a random conversation with Scott. We were in the kitchen. And there was a paper bag on the counter. And I made a comment that if you really looked at the grain of the paper in the bag, you could see an image. And he looked at me like I was completely crazy. And I was like, no, look, babe, look. And I grabbed a paintbrush and some paint. And what I saw in that bag was a soldier, like a soldier's face and kind of the top of his jacket. And both Scott and I were really big, Civil War history buffs.
Yeah.
And so it just kind of organically grew into this series I've been doing, painting Civil War soldiers. And it was funny because even, you know, while he was alive and I was painting this series, a lot of my soldiers kind of ended up looking like him.
Yeah.
I guess I spent so much time looking at him, photographing him, being next to him, it's imprinted on my brain. So then I started, after he passed away, doing actual portraits of him, mostly based off photographs, either ones that I've taken or that other people took. And someone suggested that I put them out there. And I was very hesitant to do so. I didn't want that to be misunderstood. And for the most part, it's not been.
Yeah.
I think some people think it's, I don't know, some mercenary ploy on my part. But I don't know. I wanted to share my portraits of him, and for the most part, they've been received with a lot of grace and kindness.
Absolutely.
So.
Well, the thing is, too, like, you know, like your photography, which I love, honestly. Like when I look through your galleries, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And the thing is, too, like everybody who loves Scott, I mean, you and Tommy pretty much have, like, what 80 million people want to hear about and are thinking about. And you know what I mean? So, like, your photography speaks for itself. You've been making a living at that and a name for yourself long before you met Scott, obviously.
That's correct.
And that's how you met, which is a cool story. And, you know, you read stuff and you just see stuff on the internet, just roll your eyes. And most people, believe me, are just like, whatever. And
yeah.
You're not a monster and you're not trying to make, you know, any money off this. You're just doing what you do. I mean, it's not your fault what happened. It's horrible. Most people would not have the strength to make it through something like that. And you're like a friggin' warrior. You handled it. I mean, when I talked to you on the phone, I mean, God, it was a couple weeks later. And I mean, just telling you, like, you must have some unbelievable people around you and a support system just for you to get through what you did. And I'm completely just blown away. I mean, like, that's strength to a whole nother level. So
thank you. It's been a really interesting journey. It was nothing short of brutal for quite a while there, and I could really only describe it as like a surreal nightmare that I could not wake up from. And I spent a couple months there very worried that I would honestly never recover.
Yeah.
That this happening in my life is literally going to break me and I would never come back. And you know, it's funny, I've had so many experiences since he's passed with, you know, just meeting people or opportunities that have come up or, you know, just new meaningful insights in my life that I feel come from him. And I call them his secret gifts that he is sending me from the other side. And I know that he would want me to be strong, that he would want me to be happy, that he would want me to be creating and working as an artist and, you know, doing all the things that I love to do.
Yes.
And, you know, it was incredibly difficult to do any of them for a long time because I was literally just completely paralyzed with grief. But time does heal. And, you know, you start remembering the good things and the things that make you smile instead of the things that make you cry. And I'm happy to say that I'm smiling a lot more than crying.
I know. So. That's great news. I mean, there's a lot of untruths and, you know, we touched on it a minute ago, but I mean, anything that you want to just straighten out, because I know people are just making up stupid, wild rumors. It's just anything the internet will pick up. It's ridiculous. And I know I'm just like, I could just see you rolling your eyes at some of this stuff. And you know what? A lot of people, like this girl, her name's Kelly Quinton Prout, and she started like this page for Scott, and it's super positive, and people go there to remember. They go there to talk about stories, they have pictures, shows, and when your name comes up, it's always a great thing. It's like being invited to the cool party, and everybody's super positive, and they love him, and the legacy does live on, and you know, you're a huge part of that legacy. When I see you and Scott, when I saw you guys together, you guys are like, it was like a high school boyfriend and girlfriend. It was like that energy, very, very like hanging out, like just all, you know, just hugs and sitting on his lap, just next to him the whole time. And just, it was really nice to see. And those are the happiest moments of his life. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I got to have a really awesome lunch with him. We discussed it on a phone call, but when he talked about you, like he would light up. And it was great because he was in an amazing place in his life. And, you know, that's all due to you. That, like, you were that one, the band and you was everything that he was happy about and his pit bull. You know what I mean?
No, it's absolutely true. And it's sad that he, you know, the timing of it really is so incredibly tragic because he was on the verge of so many great things. And he had finally, you know, gotten to a place where he was trying to be relatively healthy and and you know, he just wanted to create, and we were very much in love. And you know, of course there were always issues with Scott. I mean, that's not a secret, and I'm not gonna, you know, pretend that those things didn't exist. But for the most part, he really was making great strides. And and it's sad that he had to depart before he really got to reap the benefits of everything he was working so hard for and really deserved after all of the horrible things that he had been through, all of the trauma. So it's completely unjust and always will be. But I know that when he passed away, he was happy and it was peaceful. And, you know, he sent me that one last text message. I'm so in love with you, my beautiful wife. And that was it.
Yeah. So when they dropped you off at JFK and then they headed up to Jim Thorpe in Pennsylvania, and that's, I live in the Poconos. And that, I was like coming home. It was like after a holiday weekend, of course, like Thanksgiving. And I'm like, Tommy Black is nearby. And I'm like, oh shit, they're in town. So I went there. I got there super early. So I was sitting on the bus and he comes walking out of the back and he's on the phone with you and totally nice and just as happy as can be. I mean, honestly, like the last, to me, like, I'm glad I got to spend that kind of time with him and just to see the last couple times you guys together. And I knew he was in a great place, and that, and I love the Blaster album. That whole thing is just, for me, I love every song on that album. It hasn't left my my truck, and it's in my CD player forever. I love it.
It's, you know, it's a really great album. It really didn't get a fair shake. And, you know, with Jeremy passing and, you know, kind of switching of management, it just kind of got lost in the shuffle, which is so unfortunate. And, I mean, I have to say, after Scott passed, I couldn't listen to any music. I couldn't listen to anything for quite a while. I'm happy to say I can listen to everything now, including Blaster, which is a lovely little, you know, memory with my husband, because a lot of those songs are about us, and it's nice to have that visit with him and in our memories. And it's, you know, I'm happy to say that I'm able to hear it without breaking down.
Well, Blue Eyes to me is definitely, that song is just all you guys. And there's just so many circles. I mean, Hotel Rio, which is my favorite song on the album. I love that song. And just like when they were in the studio and I would call Tommy and he was super excited about everything that's going on. And then when I heard the album, I was like, oh my God, like it's great. I mean, his solo stuff has always been great. And he's super creative. And I'll tell you, like, it's just such a great, like riffy, like just rock and roll, cool album. And like music took a huge hit this year. I mean, it's just crazy what's going on in the music world. But I'm telling you, like every time, I'm starting to see more positive stuff on the internet now, but I'll tell you, like what they were talking about, oh, you know, Scott's estate, this and that. I'm like, dude, all those stories are such bullshit. And I know you must get totally frustrated. And I didn't really want to spend much time talking about it, of like, you know, his estate and you. It's like, I know that you backed away and you're doing what you've always done and you're back to your life. And you're trying to move on. And most of the people, 98% of them are like, go Jamie, you know, hope she's great. Comments are always positive. And
I really appreciate that. Yeah. I honestly appreciate that so much.
I mean, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh no, I was just going to say the truth with Scott's estate and the finances and how everything was, when he was alive, how everything was left after his passing is such a complicated mess. And it's, there's no way for the general population to understand or, you know, grasp how this could unfold the way that it has. And I think there's this preconceived notion that Scott, being a rock star, must have just had millions in the bank and, you know, that I'm probably just sitting pretty and just collecting money, and it's the antithesis of the truth.
Yeah.
You know, he unfortunately passed away with an enormous amount of debt. There were a lot of loose ends that were never dealt with, and you know, I could have fought a lot more to be involved in the mess that was left behind. But honestly, and I know there was a lot of people like, why isn't Jamie stepping up? Why isn't Jamie getting involved? Why is she letting all of these things happen? And the truth is, for a long time, I was, you know, as I said before, I was completely paralyzed. I was incapable of doing anything. It was hard for me to just get through the day, much less, you know, lawyer up and deal with all the legalities of an estate and probate. And the other thing too is that I really just want to move on with my positive memories of my husband. I want to move on as an artist. I am fortunate that I do have a career. I had a career when I met him. It was somewhat shelved for a while there because I toured with him and I was involved in his business. Mm-hmm. But I'm lucky that I can go back to that now and get that going again. And I don't really need to, you know, cling to his coattails and try to wring money out of his estate. As far as the claim that I made, it was just a very perfunctory, you know, we had a prenuptial agreement. He was supposed to pay a certain amount of money. He only paid it twice. It's just a formality. To be honest, I'll probably never see that money. And everyone, you know, anyone that understands how prenuptial agreements actually work and how, you know, his estate was left, get that. But to the general public, I think it looks like, you know, oh, Jamie's just trying to money grub.
Well, let me tell you.
That's what's happening.
So here's the deal. Like, you're his wife and people know you. I mean, you're a public figure, obviously. But for me, like, talking to Scott and then listening to, like, when Mary came out with all the stuff, I thought, first of all, my first thing, I was like, how insensitive to you that she's talking about Scott like she just, like they were together. Like, it just, for me, it was just very disrespectful in the sense of, you know, you're mourning the loss of your husband and then Mary stepping up in the picture. And it was like, are you fucking kidding me right now? Like it wasn't even like there's a cooling off period. It was just like, you, like.
He hadn't even, when she released that thing with Rolling Stone, he had not even yet been cremated.
I know. And not only that, like, I went on record basically just on a page, like, answering somebody that wound up on, like, this, the Cousin Joe show. But I was just sticking up for him, like, whoa, that's bullshit. And, you know, I was doing that whole, I had, like, fathers groups, like, contacting me, like, you're awesome. And I didn't care about any of that. I just didn't, like you said, it just happened. And Mary's going to Rolling Stone magazine, and you're his widow, and you're quiet and recouping and just trying to, like, get back on your feet and just, real, like you said, surreal as can be. And that was going on around it. And I just can't, you'd have to back off just to be okay and not dealing with all that stuff.
You know, the other thing too is that, how do I put this eloquently? What she wrote to Rolling Stone was absurd and entirely not based in reality.
Yeah.
The truth behind Scott's relationship, or lack of relationship with his children, is a story that is not out there. And I'm not going to tell that story because I don't want my stepchildren to be hurt or to be put in the public eye. And it's nobody's business, really.
Yeah.
But I don't think it takes much imagination for anyone with half a brain, considering the history of Scott and Mary, to come up with a hypothesis as to why his relationship with his kids was poisoned.
And I mean, we were touching on it. It wasn't good, and he was very upset by it. And yeah, it's, you know what? Like, here's the deal. Like, two people are married and they have kids. It's, you know, there's even my ex, like, we're cool. Like, for the kids, especially, like, I would never in a million years make her look bad or say anything bad about her. And because at one point we were in love and we had kids and we get along great and it's all good. But to be in the situation she was, I just thought originally, I was like, oh my God, I really hope Jamie doesn't read this. Like, and then I was like, Tommy, just tell me, like, is Jamie's good, right? And he told me he had friends around you and, you know, you're doing better and this and that. But I was just like, how can it? It was super insensitive. And a lot of people weren't happy about it. And then, you know, I was getting articles written up on me and I wasn't even trying to step up, but I just couldn't deal with the negativity anymore. And like you said, right. I wanted it to be like, hey, you know what? This is unfortunate what happened. And he was a great guy. And like all the stories that are sweet about Scott that you know are the ones that you're going to remember and the ones that people want to hear. You know what I mean? Even when you listen to Circles, when you hear it in his music, it's just such a great album, but it does tell a story. You could tell that he's back and you're a huge part of that. And I'll tell you, like I said, when he dropped you off at the airport and he was, you could tell he was missing you. You were on the road for a while before that. And it was just, like I said, the things he would say, I mean, just about you were just amazing. And I'm like, man, I don't think I've ever said that kind of stuff about my wife. Not that I'm not that I'm a dick or anything, but I mean, he's just so happy and just content. And he loved the way the music and the band was going and things were just on 10. It was perfect. And I'll tell you, when I got that call from a friend in LA, I couldn't believe it, man. It was just horrifying. It was a fucking nightmare. And that's just for me as a fan and a friend of Tommy and you. I was just, it just sucks. But I'm going to just talk to you, like, if people want to see your photography and all the stuff you're doing, you just go to jamiewhelan.com. There's contact information. There's galleries.
Everything's there. And I'm happy to say that I, in the last 6 to 8 weeks or so, have been shooting a lot more. I actually had a really incredible, inspiring shoot yesterday that lasted about 12 hours. I was exhausted after, but yeah. I had this great artist that I was photographing and an incredible crew. And so I'm definitely back shooting and getting my website updated and putting myself out there again. And it feels so good. And it is such incredible therapy for me to be creating. Yes. And doing what I love, and I'm incredibly grateful that I get to work with a lot of musicians and a lot of bands, and so I get to still, you know, be in the world and, you know, the record industry and you know, be around that beautiful creative musical energy that means everything to me, and kind of actually helps keep his spirit alive being around other artists. So and I'm, you know, it's working as an artist, as a photographer and a painter is kind of a touch and go situation financially. And I do completely support myself. So oh, yeah. I am also trying to get like a job at a label, and, you know, I'm a working girl, and it's there is no free ride here. And so that may be one illusion that I'd like to clear up. Yeah,
you don't have to. I mean, like I said, you were a career girl before you met Scott, and everybody who knows, everybody who wants to do like 1 second of research can figure that out. But because Scott talks about how you met and the photo shoot, and of course, you were working that day.
I was.
With Etsy, like, I want some information, like how people will go about seeing your stuff on Etsy and all that, if you can give me a minute.
It's etsy.com, and then it's /shop/ Jamie Vesper Weiland, and you can see my paintings there. And there's kind of there's some landscapes, there's some soldiers, there's some of Scott, and of course there's the soldiers that just accidentally look like Scott, completely out of my control. That's just what the paintbrush in my hand ends up doing.
Yep.
And I'm trying to get more work up there. I've actually been kind of consumed with some photo jobs, and I'll have a few days next week that I can hopefully get some new paintings up. But yeah, nice. Stay tuned, because there's more stuff coming. And
that's amazing. I mean, it's therapy too. You know what I mean? So
it is.
It's like just being creative is just great. I could tell, like, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, she's doing this. This is great. When I saw the Etsy thing on your page, I was like, this is awesome. Like, I was very excited. And it's so funny, because I was reaching out to you in Messenger after we talked. And I'm like, I'm not expecting you to like check your Messenger on Facebook for a while. But then when you finally did, you're probably like, Jesus Christ, Joe, fucking back up. I was like, I was saying all these nice things, but I was like, all right, dude, relax. But,
you know, there were so many, I was overloaded with so many messages, and 99% of them were absolutely incredible. But here it's almost 6 months later, and I still have people that I need to respond to. And I feel badly, because I don't want people to think that I'm, you know, disregarding them, or that I don't appreciate their sentiments or their thoughts or their kind words or prayers or positive energy, anything.
Yeah.
But it's a lot.
No, so, I know. It's definitely a lot for one person to handle. A lot of people are asking about your son, Wolfie. They're wondering how he's doing.
He's doing really well. He's very much looking forward to the school year being over.
Oh yeah.
And you know, it's funny, because he and Scott were very close, and he very much tried to be like my little man.
Yeah.
Try to be very strong, and I felt very bad watching my 12-year-old try to be a support system to his mother. It kind of broke my heart.
I know.
But on the other hand, I was really impressed by how strong he was and how wise he was. And it was funny, because I didn't really see him. He cried at the funeral a lot. But after that, I really didn't see a tear. And then the day after David Bowie died, comes home from school, and I said, how was your day, buddy? And he said, well, Mom, I was in tears all day at school. And I said, why? And he's like, Mom, because David Bowie died.
Yeah, which huge, like, Scott loved David Bowie, of course. Like, like huge influence.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
But I think it was a little bit of a, you know,
oh, absolutely,
a delayed response, and I think it triggered maybe some emotions he had about Scott that he had not touched upon or embraced yet, and somehow David Bowie's passing allowed him to let those tears come, which was interesting and beautiful and sad.
Yeah. So. Well, I can tell you, I saw them backstage at the Sands in Bethlehem, PA, and they were so excited because Scott told them, like, we're playing paintball tomorrow. And, like, the people at the hotel were giving them all those paintball stuff and all the equipment. And your son was just – they were freaking out because they were going, like, the next day. So that's really cool that they got to do all that fun stuff together. And they had good energy together. You know what I mean? Like
they really did. Yeah.
I got to see that a couple times.
Yeah. I had a joke because, you know, Scott was – he was so, you know – childlike in so many ways, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean more just like this innocence that he had about him, and this energy, this open-eyed energy toward the world. And I would joke that I had two kids, and one of them had chest hair. So.
That's hilarious, man. Well, the sensitive part about Scott is cool because, like, I would be talking to my dad was going through some stuff with diabetes and stuff, and you know, I was talking to Tommy about it a lot. But when I sat down with Scott, it's the first question he asked, "How's your dad doing?" I thought that was pretty amazing. Like, I didn't even know he knew. You know what I mean?
Right.
In the group, I brought up, I was like, you know what would be amazing, like. Because everybody's like, I wonder how she's doing, this and that. And I didn't say nothing, of course. I just said, you know what would be really cool? Because you took some of the most amazing pictures of you two. And even, like, some of the stuff you post with, like, Tommy and Scott walking behind you. And you're like, look at my security detail. Like, all your fun, playful shit. And I go, if she had put together, like, a coffee table book with just, like, a little description of each picture, where you were, what you were thinking, people, I mean, that's, like I said, you and Tommy hold the key to, like, just all the fans that absolutely love him and just want more and more and more. And they're almost like, I don't want to say nothing, but when she's ready, I'm ready. You know what I mean? And people, they're not going to be like, oh, Jamie's just trying to capitalize. No, man. People want to know the story. That's the thing. People want to know the story. You have, like, you've got to spend years with him. I mean, he's honestly, like, I always said, I've been saying this forever. I even said it to him. I'm like, dude, you're like the last rock and roll outlaw front man. I mean, it's just when you read about him or when you see him in even in like Stone Temple Pilots, Velvet Revolver, anything he's doing. My mom like watched his Christmas special and was like, he's amazing. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's amazing because he wanted to go back and do all those songs. And they even actually played it this year during some holiday stuff and they had him doing that. And it was pretty cool, like just seeing all that stuff. And a lot of people get upset, like, no one's giving him this and no one's giving him that. And, you know, people are down on Scott. How come they're not, you know, coming out with more tributes? And people do want that tribute. People are mad. But you know what? It doesn't matter what happens. The only thing that matters is that you're doing good. His music and his legacy live on. And one day, when you're ready to tell those stories, I mean, people always talk about a book, coffee table book, and you putting stuff through photography, that's your talent. So, like, people even being able to hold on to something like that. Like, I saw this really cool coffee table book, and I forget what band it was, but you're like, how great was it if I don't remember the band? I think it was, like, The Who or something. But it's just, the pictures told the story. Like, you didn't have to say anything. But you have that extra in, too, like, just that you were there, you took those pictures, you know, they're licensed to you. Every time there's a picture of you and Scott, it's, you know, photo credit, Jamie Wheeland. And,
not every time, as it turns out, but
I know. Well, I gotta tell you, a lot of places have taken down pictures, but it's just, you know, I gotta tell you, like, those pictures and what you capture on film is your true talent. I mean, honestly, like, it's not even like I'm sitting here blowing you up. Your photography, it stands alone. And just
thank
the fact
you.
That
they,
you've been doing you. This for so long and just that, like, the whole world knows your subject. But, I mean, even before that, your picture is just unbelievable.
Thank you. I truly and deeply appreciate that more than I could ever explain.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that it is something that I am absolutely working on. And I've been talking to various literary agents and publishers and, you know, just trying to figure out the best way to go about this. And it is something that took me months and months to even start to work on. I would sit down with images that I have of him, and there are thousands that no one has ever seen. And I would sit down with these images, and I'd be good for about 10 or 15 minutes, and then I would just lose my shit.
I know. I'm like,
I can't do this.
Yeah. Well, but I got to tell you, it's 6 months in a couple, in like a week. And you're back to you. Obviously, you must have.
I'm back to me. It's the new version of me. Because, you know, things like this alter you forever. And some of that's bad. Some of it's really good. I'm happy that I have incredible memories of one of the most beautiful people I've ever encountered in my life.
That's amazing.
And I am so fortunate that I had 4 years with a brilliant, beautiful soul. And I do have many photos of him that are photos that people probably wouldn't expect. I mean, everybody sees photos of Scott, you know, on stage with the megaphone, shirt off, smoking a cigarette, doing the whole rock star thing. And of course I have those photos, but I also have, you know, him being a complete goofball, him talking on the phone with my dad, him playing with the dog, he and I, you know, walking to the grocery store. It's, you know, just
my favorite really picture. Is of Scott. I don't mean to cut you off. My favorite picture of Scott is in the backyard. He's sitting on he's sitting on a chair or something, and he's got the phone in one hand and he's petting the dog with his other hand.
Beatrice,
That's my favorite picture. Like, because that to me is like, he's in a safe place. He's doing his thing. He loves his dog. And how are the dogs?
The dogs are good. They're, rowdy and loud and obnoxious and incredibly sweet, and it's funny, they went through their thing too. And you know, Scott obviously had been away on tour for a while, my earpiece fell out. But of course the energy within the household and me being so upset, and then, you know, we had to move, and there, you know, there was just a lot of angst and transition in a very short period of time, and they, you know, you could see it with them. I mean, they really understood that something drastic and tragic had happened. And they were very concerned about me. They're very, very, pitbulls are very, very sensitive dogs.
I love those dogs. I love them. They're
amazing.
My dog Clive, we had him for 13 years, and I'll tell you, he was a family member. He was smarter than most humans. And I actually drove across the country with my daughter's cat and the dog all the way across the country to give her car and her animals up in Ventura. And I'll tell you, that dog had an amazing life. Like, I must have given that dog a million kisses. Like, that dog, it was like my best buddy. And my dog,
I get it.
Yeah, it was just heartbreaking. And I'm not like one of those guys, like, I'll never get another dog. But that shit, it's going to take a while for me to, you know what I mean? Just to be able to do that again.
I get it. It is like losing a family member. I've always had a lot of pets. I mean, from the time, you know, very small growing up in Ohio until now. And I always kind of take on the animals that nobody else wants.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and especially strong bond with them.
Don't you think it's a little weird, like spiritually, like that you and Scott both from Ohio?
Yeah, we grew up like an hour from each other. I mean, like 10 years apart, but an hour from each other. And, you know, we actually realized at one point, I lived in a neighborhood of L.A. called Nichols Canyon. Mm-hmm. And at one point, he was renting a house literally a block and a half from where I lived for like 6 months. And I was like, how did we never see each other? Didn't you see me walking my dog? I never saw you driving.
Exactly.
And, you know, he was always like, well, if I'd seen you walking your dogs, I'd be like, who's that girl? And I said, well, if I'd seen you driving by, I'd be like, oh my God, that's fucking Scott Weiland.
That's great. I mean, I remember like when they first came out, my friends were going to law school down in San Diego. And I got to actually see them when it was Mighty Joe Young. And it was in Mission Beach. And I just remember, like, I was like, that guy is going to fucking take over. Like, he was just insane, shirt off. And he was like, he had that surfer, like, ripped body, and he was fierce. He came out, and I was like, holy shit. Then my friend Mark, you know, told me, like, they changed the name of the band, right? You know, and then the album came out. But I remember the video. I'm like, holy shit, there they are. And then it just, K-Rock grabbed onto it in L.A., and they were just huge. And I just, I don't know, man. It's been a really fun ride to watch his musical career. And you know what? It doesn't matter. Like, who cares about anything else but just that he lived, he was a rock and roll outlaw. He did it his way. He doesn't, he never cared. When he got on stage, he was never more comfortable. And, like, you probably saw the most comfortable times of his life being with him in that, you know, spending years with him alone to get to see all the other side. But, I mean, there's no, you got to look at him and just go, that guy is, he's going to go down in history. I mean, his music is phenomenal. And it's just been really, it's surreal for everybody, definitely. I mean, especially like, Tommy was, he wanted to do the show because it's my show and he wants to help, but he just wasn't ready. And I think I just, like I said, I hit him up too early. And I don't know. I just, you know, we have our moments where I was talking to him a couple times a day, and I'll be in LA next week. So I'm going to catch up with him and all that stuff. So, but anyway, you know, not to be not to change the topic too much, but I live in Northeast Pennsylvania, and this place is like a photographer's wet dream. This is insane. It's gorgeous. And like during the fall, I don't know if you've, you know, obviously you're from Ohio. It's not much different. But it is unbelievable up here. Like, picture-taking wise, it is crazy. So I don't know. I'm just saying, if you ever come back east, you ever want to come through here, you will absolutely love it, because I live in a small, peaceful town, and it's like going back 50 years. I absolutely love it up here. And, like, I've lived in L.A. for 20-something years, went out there with a bunch of friends. Like I said, I met Tommy, like, in 88, did the whole bands, and my friends are in bands, and it's crazy. But now to come back here, I mean, I'm 47 now, so I should be in a place like this, but I'm really enjoying my time. You know what I mean? It's been cool coming back here, because I'm kind of, my family went out to the West Coast. My ex-wife's mom got sick, so my son went with her. My daughter lives in Philly, so this is the longest I've been away from my son. And I'm going there for graduation, and I told myself, like, I'm going to get in great shape. I'm not in horrible shape, but I'm like, she's getting remarried in October. And I'm like, that's it. I'm going to go there. I'm not going to be like the fat dad. I'm going to show this guy up. I actually introduced them to together. And then I'm just like, I started running. I'm like, I'm going to do this. And then I'm just lazy as shit. I'm just working too much. I'm like, I'm not fucking running today. So I'm going there like by myself to the graduation. I'm like, oh, this sucks. It is what it is. I'm excited to go back to LA. I mean, if you have a moment where, I don't know, maybe I'll reach out to you if you want to just meet for lunch or whatever. I don't care. It'd be nice to see you. I know you're
You
busy.
And Tommy and I should meet for lunch or for coffee.
I would love to.
You know, to be honest, and, you know, I'm not saying anything to you or anyone else that Tommy doesn't know, because I text him frequently, completely harassing him, like, when am I seeing you? Where are you? What are you doing?
I got to tell you, I went from talking to him like 3 times a day. I haven't really – I know he's busy with stuff too, and I have a painting company here, and I've been busy too, but I always reach out to him, like, text, like, hey, what's up? And then he's like, I'm going to help you get people on your show. I feel bad. I'm not ready, this and that. And just, by the way, I just want to plug my own show. If you go to joeycrush.com, all my episodes are listed there. They're really funny. I'm really funny. I usually start off the show by saying, like, welcome to the motherfucking Joe Howard Show. But today, I have a special lady on, so I held back. And I'm trying to keep it classy.
I appreciate that you think I'm a special lady, but I also have the foulest mouth of pretty much anyone I know. I've been very conservative speaking to you, but you don't have to ever hesitate to swear around me, because I'm a girl from Ohio after all.
That's it. You know, I got to tell you, like, and I'm not just saying it because I'm one of my friends married a girl from Ohio. Girls from Ohio are beautiful. I went to Cedar Point with my son. We came across the country,
the best.
And I'm like, I'm going to Cedar Point. So we go there. And I'm telling you right now, like, it was better than being in L.A. because all these girls are beautiful, but they're all naturally beautiful. And they're just perfect looking, and everybody's nice and sweet. I actually love Ohio. I stayed at Cedar Point for like 3 days. I'm like, I don't want to leave this place, man. That was awesome. I thought it was great.
You can easily spend 3 days at Cedar Point. There's so much to do there.
I know.
They have a
roller coaster this year they're opening up. It's like going to be the tallest and fastest roller coaster in the world. So
I follow them on Facebook. I know.
And I'm excited, man. I'm excited. I can't wait. But what are you doing on a holiday weekend? Anything good?
You know, just having some friends over for a barbecue and just kind of chilling out and painting and, you know, editing my shoots I've been working on and doing some writing. And that's about it. Just staying home and avoiding traffic, I think.
I know. It's crazy. Well, listen, I'm going to cut it short. And I just want, you know, I'm gracious that you came on. I know you just got home and stuff, but I just want to thank you very much for being so sweet to me all the times I met you and to be on my show. Mm. It's a huge honor, and I love you.
Thank you for having me. Yeah. I really appreciate
and it. And like I said, a lot of people are really pulling for you. They're thinking about you. They're asking the questions, and there's a very positive, vibe. And I just want to, I'll check in with you while I'm out there. Just pop in. Maybe me, you, and Tommy get together. But like I said, I'm glad that you came on and talked about some of the stupid stuff. And then I'm glad that you shared about all the stuff that you're doing because everybody's interested in that, myself included. I love to see the pictures and all the paintings you were doing. And I went on your page at jamiewhelan.com, and you can go and see the photo galleries. It's really nice, and you do great work.
Thank you.
And you're my most famous guest so far. I got some famous people on there, but like I said, thanks for taking the time. You have a great evening, and you're the best.
All right, thanks so much, Joe. I really appreciate it. Have a great night.
You too.
Okay, bye.
Bye.